Mishnah Dalet. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Rav Levitis ish Yavna Omer. Rav Levitis, who came from Yavna, used to say, he is telling us about anivus, being humble. And he says, Ma'oid, ma'oid, hevi shval ruach. Very much a person should be exceedingly humble of spirit. You should be very, very low. Shetikvas enosh rima. The hope of man is the worm. In other words, what does every person have to look at, look forward to for the during their life? Doesn't mean that you have to become depressed because of it, but any time that you get a little bit of gaiva, how great you did, accomplish this and that, I'm the greatest, just remember what's going to be at the end. Rabbi Wein brings from Rav Zusha of Anapoli. He was once walking on a dirt road, and he said, "Oh, you dirt that I now walk upon, now I stride confidently upon you, but you and I both know that there will come a day when you will be on top of me." So if a person thinks about that, any gaiva that he could have will become lowered with that thought. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Here's a good thought to help you become ma'od ma'od avishval ruach. The Rambam tells us that in every midah, there's the golden path of the Rambam, to go always in the middle, not to go to extremes. However, there are two exceptions. One is anger. Anger, you have to go to extreme, non-anger. And the second is our Mishnah, anivus. Anivus, you have to run away from gaiva. Why is that? Why by gaiva do you have to go to the opposite extreme? So the Rambam says, because it's a midah meguna ma'oid, it's a very disgusting character trait. V'rov b'nei adam nechshalim bo, and most people are nechshal in gaiva. And he also says, v'loy bedili in shimine, and people don't separate themselves from gaiva. And therefore, the only way to get rid of gaiva is to go to the extreme. Now, to what level do you have to go? So look at the Mishnah. Ma'od, very much. One time is not enough. Ma'od, a second time. And not just to be an anav, but having shval ruach. Shval ruach is even lower than an anav. It's the lowest you can get, and you have to go ma'od, ma'od, have a shval ruach. That, in other words, you have to go to the real extreme to get away from gaiva. Now, what exactly is anivus? Does anivus mean that you don't know who you are? Did Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the anav mikol adam, does it mean he didn't know he was the greatest person? The Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the highest level of nevuah that it's humanly possible. So we find a Mishnah in Sota, Daf Mem Tesamid Beis, which says, Mishemeis Rebbe Batla Nova. When Rebbe died, that ended humility. Nobody else was humble anymore. Omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said in the Gemara on this statement, Loitisni Anova. Don't say in the Mishnah that when Rebbe died, there's no more Anov. He was the last Anov. I'm here. What about me? So that's everyone knows the famous question. The Marsha asks it on the spot. We have a pasuk, Yalucha Zar Veloy Picha. Let a stranger praise you and not yourself. In other words, he's asking that Rabbi Yosef is contradicting. Rabbi Yosef says, don't say there's no more Anav because I'm an Anav. So the Vilner Goin says, Epshat Vo'ika Anav. There's a Moira in the Yerushalmi called Ano. Rabbi Yosef was saying, wait a second, it's not true. Rebbe was the last Anav? No, I know Rav Ano. There was a man called Ano. Ano means I, but Ano is a name. It's a very rare name, but the Vilna Gaon found in the Yerushalmi, it says a name of Ano. So the Gra says he was speaking about a specific person. However, I think I heard from Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zitzel, he said the pshat is that there's no question here. Because to be an anav doesn't mean you don't know who you are. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he's Moshe Rabbeinu, he also knew that he's Anav Mikol Adam. That, and those things are not a contradiction. Rabbi Yosef was saying, I'm learning the truth. Torah is the truth. You made a statement that Rebbe is the last Anav. That's not true. I'm an Anav. Not Anav is the name of another person. No, Anav, me. I am an Anav. Doesn't mean, some say that's the Pshat, Ma'od Ma'od Avi Shval Ruach. Be a Shval Ruach Ma'od, and then be a Shval Ruach on being a Shval Ruach. That's why it says Ma'od Ma'od. Yeah, a double. You're a Shval Ruach, and then don't be about Gaivanik about the fact that you're an Anav. You should be an Anav about being an Anav. So Rabbi Yosef was saying that I know I'm an Anav. I'm not Balgaiva about it. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was the greatest in Nevuah, but he, for example, he thought to himself, if Aaron would have my abilities, he would be much greater than me. Whatever I accomplished is no comparison to what Aaron, my brother, could have accomplished had he had my abilities that Hashem gave me. So what is there to be a Balgaiva about? So the Anava does not mean you don't know the MS. I think Rav Weinberg said, if you don't know the MS, you're a Shota. You're a fool. You have to know the truth. So Rabbi Yosef said, I know I'm an Anav, and I know what the truth is, and therefore, Rebbe, you said, is the last Anav. It's not correct. I'm an Anav, but that doesn't mean I'm a Balgaiva because I'm an Anav. Now, there's a Pshat, I saw it once in Ethics of Sinai from Mr. Bunim Oliver Shalom. He brings down a very nice pshat. Ma'od stands for three great people that Klal Yisrael had that were Anivim. And they stand for Mem is Moshe, Aleph is Avram, and Dalet is David. Each one of these in the Torah and Tanakh we find express themselves as being an Anav. Moshe said, Vanachnu Ma, what are we, Aaron and me, what are we? Avram said, Anoichi offer ve'efer, I'm earth and ashes. And David said, Anoichi tola'as v'loy ish, I'm a worm and not a person. So that's what it's saying. Whatever you have that you think you're great, ma'od, ma'od, learn from Moshe, Avram, and David that even though David was David HaMelech, Avram was the first one who recognized Hashem. He was the Amud HaChesed in the world. Moshe was Moshe Rabbeinu. And each one of them, although they had something to be tremendously Balgaiva about, they were the biggest Anivim. So learn from Moshe Avram David. Now, of Moshe Avram David, who was the biggest of those three? The answer is Moshe. Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. That's what it says. Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. Adam is again Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Avram, David, Moshe. From those three, Moshe was the greatest. Why? Because Avram said, Anoichi offer ve'efer. Earth is nothing right now, but you could grow a tree, a beautiful flower in earth. It has a future. Efer's ashes could be this beautiful table that we're sitting around. If Chashon would get burnt, it would become ashes, but it had a past. It used to be a beautiful piece of furniture. So Avram was a tremendous Anav, but it was still something. Offer Efer, something. David Amel said, I'm a worm. A worm, what's a worm? But it's at least a living. It's a living creature. But Moshe said, Anachnu Ma. What are we? What? You cannot compare us to Ofer Vafer. You cannot compare us to Tolas. We're nothing. What are we? We're nothing. So that they were the biggest Anivim. Now, he also brings down, I didn't see this recently, but this is from memory from years ago. He brings down a pshat, Shetikvas Enesh Rima. We said the simple pshat is, what's the aspiration of every person? The end is, that unfortunately a person is going to become worms. But he learned, it's at a different shot. Whatever you're a Balgaiva about, you should know it's a Rima. Rima could be a insect. Rima can also mean a fake. It's a trick. It's an illusion. Let's say a boy gets a new bike and he shows all his friends he got a three-wheeler when he's that old. I got a new bike, and he feels really good about himself. As he grows up, the little bike, that's for babies. But he gets a 10 speeder, and he's speeding on. And He got a brand new, it cost $500, has all the gadgets, whatever. Oh, he feels good about that. Later on, then he goes for the car. He wants to. So as he goes through life, each thing that he used to put his, you know, greatness in, he sees it's a trick. It's an illusion. It's similar. I once heard a tremendous thought from Professor Tversky, the psychologist. And he spoke in Washington Heights. He said, people today suffer from what's called the Newhouse syndrome. What's the Newhouse syndrome? He said, let's say you have a child, he's in elementary school, and he's in the seventh, eighth grade, he's having certain problems, but he's going to start high school, and high school he doesn't have to take every course, he could choose which courses to take, he has electives, you know, things are going to get better. Yeah, he goes to high school, first year, it's talking better. By the end of high school, he has the same problems, he's not happy, but he gets to college, you know, let's say math, he's not good, and he doesn't have to take math at all. He can concentrate on history, on psychology, he can take whatever, that's going to be the answer to his problems. He goes to college, the beginning, it's talking very nice, as a couple years into college, he's having problems again. Ah, so when he gets married, all his problems will get solved. So he gets married, and first it's bliss, and then the reality comes in. Well, he's going to have a child. Mirchemi has a child, everything's going to work out. He has a child, that's talking nice, and then again, weiter problems. Oh, he's in a cramped apartment. When he gets to the new house, then all his problems are going to be solved. He gets to the new house, and first the year or two it's good, and then they're back to the problems. And now he doesn't know what to do. He says most people come to psychiatrists after they buy a new house because they ran out of solutions. The problem is in them. They were always trying. So that's the same thing over here. Tikvas anish rima. It's a trick. A person always says to himself, when I get to that, that's going to solve all the problems. That's all a trick. The same thing, if a person, everything that a person thinks makes him greater than another person, that he has a reason to be a Balgaiva, it's all a Rima, it's all a trick. And this is another idea how he can fight Gaiva. One of the great tzaddikim said, a person has to have two pockets. One pocket he has to have the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. For me was the whole world created. A person has to have self-esteem. We mentioned Professor Tversky. He wrote maybe, I think, 50 books. He once said that every book has the same theme. The theme is self-esteem. Whatever the subject matter is, the bottom line was self-esteem. So a person has to have Bishvili Nivroilo. That's one pocket. But the other pocket, you have to have Anoichi Ofer Ve'efer. You have to have the humility. Yes, the world, Hashem created the world for each person. Every person is chashuv like a whole world. But v'anoichi ofer v'efer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika Omer, in the same Mishnah we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. He used to say, kol ha-mechalo shem shemayim baseser nifroin mimenu bagoli. Whoever desecrates the name of Hashem in private, we pay him in public. What does it mean we pay him in public? So Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra mimenu begolui, she oise loy dover, she moidia lakol, she hu over alea, u megale cher posle barabim. So Rashi says that if a person does an aveira in secret, Hashem punishes him in public, and reveals to the people find out that he did the Aveira. So what's the idea behind this? And what does it mean, he's Mechal Hashem Shemayim Baseser? That sounds like an oxymoron. Because Mechal Hashem usually is public. What's a Chil Hashem? You do something public that people find out, and Hashem's name is desecrated. If you do it in secret, Baseser, all the Meforshim ask over here, if I'm doing it in secret, so how is it a desecration of Hashem's name? Mechal Hashem Shemayim is Befarhesia, when you do it in front of many people that find out about it. So I think I want to suggest the pshat is that kol machal shem shemayim baseser is you do an avera in secret, and later on Hashem punishes you for it. But the people say, wow, this person is such a tzaddik, why is he getting punished like this? So that itself is a chilul Hashem. So what does Hashem do to make sure there's no chilul Hashem? He makes people find out what avera you did, so people should understand why you're getting punished. And the biggest proof of this is David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when he did the avera with Bathsheba, so the Navi said to him, Ki ato asiso baseser, you did this avera hidden, vani eses adover azeh, neged kol Yisrael v'neged Hashemesh. I'm going to publicize what you did, because otherwise it's going to come out. David's mouth, for example, his first son got killed. His first child got killed. So people could think, David HaMelech, such a tzaddik, how could his first child get killed? How could Hashem do that to him? So Hashem, that's the pshat, call a mechal shem shemayim baseser. You're mechal shem shemayim, why? Because you did an avera baseser, which no one will find out. But a chil Hashem is going to come out, because people will say, it's not right. He's a tzaddik, why is he getting this punishment? So what I'm going to do, says Hashem, is nifron mimenu bagolui. I'm going to punish him in public, and I'm going to also not just punish him, I'm going to reveal to people what he did wrong, like by David HaMelech, so that people will understand why he's getting punished. And the Mishnah concludes, Echad Shoigeg, Ve'echad Mezid B'Chil Hashem. When it comes to Chil Hashem, we know the Rambam says there's four levels of Averis. There's a Mitzvah Saseh, and for that, Tshuva helps. There's a Lo Saseh, you need Tshuva and Yom Kippur. Then there is Kares, an Aver that a person could lose their life by Hashem. That, for that you need tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurim to get rid of a chi of Kares. Chilul Hashem, it's not enough tshuva, not enough Yom Kippur, not enough Yisurim. You need also Misa Mechaperis. Until the person dies, he didn't have a kapara. So Chilul Hashem is the worst aver that a person could do. The Rabbeinu Yoina says that a way to rectify Chil Hashem is to make Kiddush Hashem. If you go ahead and visit the sick and you help other people who have trouble, and you teach people, you whatever good deed you do, you make a Kiddush Hashem, that helps you to be mechaper on your Chil Hashem. But if you don't do a Kiddush Hashem, the only way you can get kapara for Chil Hashem is Misa. Till the day of Misa, you don't have kapara. So therefore, it's not just mezid if you did it, shoigeg also, even if you did it by accident, a chil Hashem. You didn't mean to make a chil Hashem. But it's such a strong avera, the Rambam says, of course, your punishment will be less. If you did an avera b'shoigeg, chil Hashem, you'll get a punishment on the level of shoigeg. If you did it b'mezid, you'll get a punishment on the level of mezid, a harder avera. But both of them, you'll be revealed what you did, because Chil Hashem is something that is such a terrible avera. Hashem wants everybody to know that the person did something so bad, he deserves to receive the punishment.
Perek Dalet Mishnah Hey. Rabbi Shmuel Benoy Omer, Rabbi Shmuel, his son, said, this Mishnah is referring back to the previous Mishnah, Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike made a statement. So this Tana, his name was Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike. Rabbi Wein, in his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, points out very interestingly that we have a Tana who's called Yishmuel. Yishmuel was the very vicious son that we still suffer from until today. The Arabs are descendants from Yishmuel. And that somebody in Klal Yisrael named their son after Yishmael. And not only this Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike's son, but we also find there was a Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. He was one of the Asar Haruge Malchus. So it's very strange that they called their sons Yishmuel. And Rabbi Wein suggests maybe it was because the Chazal tell us that at the end of his life, Yishmuel did tshuva.
So since he did tshuva, even though he was pretty bad, his very bad his entire life, but since at the end, everything goes after the end. Hakol holech acher ha-chitum. Since at the end of his life he was good, so therefore there was a minig at that time, which we don't do today. I don't think anybody in there, any Jewish person in Eretz Yisrael today, names their son Yishmael. But in those days, in the time of the Mishnayos, they would call him their children Rabbi Yishmael. So what did Rabbi Yishmael say? Halomed al menas lalamed. We'll translate the words first, and then we will explain it. If someone learns, and the purpose of his learning is in order to teach, maspikim biyadai lilmoid lalamed. So we put in his hands, Hashem gives him siyata d'shmaya, and he's able to accomplish what he set out to do, which was to learn and to teach others. However, on a higher level, v'halomed amanas lasos, someone who learns Torah in order to do, he wants to know what Hashem wants him to do, and the only way to know what to do is if you learn the halachos, then you know what Hashem is expecting of you. So if somebody has that in mind, he's on a higher level. Maspikim biyadei, we enable him, min hashamayim, lilmoid, ulilameid, lishmar v'lasois. So then he gets all these four things. If he only wanted, his purpose in learning was to learn in order to teach, so that if it's learning in order to teach, so then we help him lilmoid ulilameid. But if his purpose is to do the mitzvah, then he gets everything. It seems, even though he didn't have in mind to teach, but since he did the ikkar is that a person should learn in order to do, so he gets everything. These are the simple words of the Mishnah. Now, the Kohati here explains that the Mishnah is speaking about a person who is doing it loy l'shma. He's doing it not for the right reason. He wants to be a teacher, a Rebbe, a Rosh Hashiva. A Rosh Hashiva gets covered. He's Masader Kedushin. He sits on the head table. He on the Mizrach Vant. So a person is learning in order to get covered. In fact, we have a Tosis in Masechta Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where Tosis acts a contradiction. On one hand, we have a Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nunama Beis, which states, La'olam yasik adam b'torah v'mitzvahs, afal pi shaloy l'shma, shemitoch shaloy l'shma, bo l'shma. And the Michtav Melio brings down La'olam. That's the way to learn. A person should always be osik in Torah and mitzvahs, even though it's not for altruistic reasons, it's not l'shma. He's not doing it just because Hashem commanded him to do it. But he should still learn that way. Why? Because through learning it lo lishma, you come eventually to lishma. Tosa says, I have a Gemara that says just the opposite. The Gemara in Brachos of Yud Zayin says that whoever learns Torah and does mitzvah, shelo lishma, somebody does chesed. So you could do lishma to help other people, and you could do lo lishma, that everybody should talk about you, what a great person you are. You're a big balas chesed. So a person who does that, the Gemara says, Noach lo shalom nivra. It's better that that person wasn't born. So on such a very strong comment. So Tosa says, how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? One Gemara says, that's the way you should learn, lo lishma, because you can't come to lishma right away. The Rambam says, a little child, you give candies. They grow older, you buy them clothing if they do, if they're good and they do mitzvahs and they learn Torah. They get older, you get them a bike. Get older, get them a car. You have incentives. Hopefully, eventually, they'll learn and understand that doing mitzvahs and learning Torah is important for its own sake. Because Asher Kirishanu b'mitzvoyis of Etzivanu lasik b'divrei Torah. Because that's what Hashem commanded us, not because of all these prizes that we get. But until they're mature enough to understand that, they have to go through getting prizes. So, but here it says it's better that a person wasn't created. So Tosfos answers that the place where it says learn loy lishma because you'll get to lishma, that's to be called a Rebbe. That's for honor. The place where it says a person who learns lo lishma, it's better that he was not created, that's lekanter. Lekanter means I'm going to learn this Gemara so well that when I have a discussion with you, I'm going to slug you up. I'm going to destroy, I'm going to know it so well that I'm motivated, I want to beat you. I want to smash you to smithereens. I'm going to know it so well that I'm going to make you look like an idiot. That lekanter, to go, that's a person learns Torah for that purpose, then it's better that he was not created. So this is the pshat that the Tosfos tells us to distinguish between the two Gemaras. Now let's go another part to the Mishnah, and then we'll still come back to the first part. We have here the next part in the Mishnah here, Mishnah Hey, is from Rav Tzadik. In other Mishnahs, it's separated from the first part. But in the Mishnah that we're learning here from the Kohati, the two are together, Rabbi Shmuel's statement and the statement of Rav Tzadik. First of all, a little background, who was Rav Tzadik? And we entitled this year, Rav Tzadik, he fasted for the Churban. The actual title of the shir we gave was the three requests that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had at the time of the Churban. There's a story where it's in the Gemara in Gittin, where we have many dafim that discuss the Churban, and you're not supposed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, but about the Churban you're allowed to learn. Many places spend hours and hours on Tisha B'Av learning the stories about the Churban that we find in the Gemara in Gittin. So one of the stories is that there was a fight at that time between the Bar Yonim. The Bar Yonim are from the word bar. They're the outsiders. They were very tough individuals, and their goal was to fight. They didn't want to make any peace with the enemy. When the Romans, with the general Vespasian, when they surrounded Yerushalayim, and eventually they broke through on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz the wall of Yerushalayim, and on Tisha B'Av they destroyed the base of Migdash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was from the Perushim, and the G'doylei Hador understood that the only way we're going to survive is if we make peace we're not going to win this. But the Bar Yonim, who didn't accept the Gedolim, they said, no, we're going to fight against them. And what the Gemara says over there in Gittin, there were three rich people living at that time, and they were so rich that they had in their storage houses 21 years of wheat and barley that could have sustained the Bnei Yisrael. There was a siege around the city of Yerushalayim. They could have outlasted that siege for 21 years. What did the Bar Yonim do? The Bar Yonim burnt down all these storage houses. They wanted to make a ro'av, a hunger. They wanted to force the Jews that the only way you're going to survive is if you're going to fight against the Romans. That was their strategy. They didn't listen to Das Torah of the Gedolei Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw how terrible the situation was, and he decided that he's going to go and try to meet with Vespasian and try to salvage. He realized that they're going to destroy Yerushalayim at the base of Migdash, but let me see what I could save. So now how does he get out? The Bar Yonim would not let anyone out of the city unless they were going to go and fight. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he got an animal that had a bad odor, that had died, and he pretended as if he had died. He went into a casket. He had his talmidim move the casket with him live inside with a bad smell. And they said to the Bar Yonim, who were guarding that no one should leave the city, they said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died. So in fact, they wanted to take a sword and stab him to make sure that he's dead. And the Talmidim said, we're going to come out and we're going to tell the Romans that the Jews killed their own rabbi, that they stuck a sword in their own rabbi. So anyway, eventually the Bar Yonim let the casket go. They didn't touch it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes out and he goes over to the general Vespasian.
He addressed him, my king, and Vespasian said, you deserve to die, because I'm only a general, I'm not a king. And right as they were speaking, a messenger came from Rome and said that in Rome you were elected now to king, you are the king. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I knew that you're the king before the messenger, because the pasuk says that your Yerushalayim will only be given over to a king. So if you are going to take over Yerushalayim, you must be a king. Anyway, so Vespasian said, what do you want? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I have three requests. Now he told them, we would want to make peace with you. The Baryonim are not letting us. It's going to be a war, but we want to save at least we want to save something. And Vespasian gave him three requests. What were the three requests? The first one was probably the most famous one, Tein li Yavne v'chachomel. There's a city called Yavne, and in it we have the great Talmidei Chachamim. Give me that city. Even if you're going to destroy Yerushalayim, give me Yavne. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that Klal Yisrael could exist without the Beis HaMikdash, without Korbanot. Of course, it's a very low level. We don't have the Shechinah, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But we could survive. But what we can't survive is without Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in his wisdom, knew... Vespasian thought, big deal, give him some old rabbis over there. Fine, let him have his rabbis. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that this is how he's making sure that Klal Yisrael will continue to exist. So, Tein li Yavne v'chachomel. Second request, Rabbi Gamliel's the Nasi. Give me the family of the Nasi, of the prince of Klal Yisrael. So Vespasian agreed to that as well. And the third request, and that has to do with our mission over here, was give me a doctor to save Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik saw that there's going to be a Churban, and he was praying to Hashem for 40 years before the Churban that there shouldn't be a Churban. He fasted for 40 years before the Churban, and he became so sick that he could not swallow food. His intestines shrunk until he couldn't eat solid food. The Gemara says that if he would eat something, you could see the food that was going down his throat. You could see the food as it was going down his throat. That's how shriveled he was. And it says his intestines couldn't take regular food. The only thing that he was able to do, they would give him a grogris, which is a dried fig, and he would suck out from the dried fig, he would suck out any moisture that was still in the fig, and that's how he survived. But he was very, very weak and sick, and he needed a doctor to cure him. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, asked Vespasian, give me a doctor to save the life of Rav Tzadik. So I just heard recently from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita that who Rav Steinman is, how great Rav Steinman is. It seems that there are those great Rabbanim also who argue on Rav Steinman in certain things. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wanted to explain how great Rav Steinman Shlita is. So he brought this Gemara in Gittin of the three requests of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he asked the question. I understand, Tein li Yavne b'chachomel, I understand. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that Torah is going to save all of Klal Yisrael. I understand that he asked for the Nasi. The Nasi was the family that would serve as the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the prince of Klal Yisrael. But I don't understand Rav Tzadik. Fine, he was a big tzadik, a big Talmud Chacham. He's one individual. How could, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is looking for things of the Klal, that's what he wants to do. Yerushalayim is going to get destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash is going to get destroyed. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is looking for things that would help the entire Klal Yisrael. So Yavne, I understand. Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, that's for Gans Klal Yisrael. But Rav Tzadik is one Talmud Chacham. So why did he ask for an individual? He should have asked something else for the Tzibur. Said Rav Chaim Kanievsky, from here we see that Rav Tzadik
That is Klal Yisrael. The Rav Tzadik, who was the Gadol Hador, who was such a great Tzadik, he is Klal Yisrael. It wasn't, Rav Yochanan Zakkai did not look at Rav Tzadik as an individual. Rav Yochanan Zakkai understood that he's just as important as Yavne v'Chachomeo, as the house of the Nasi of Rav Gamliel, and the, Rav Tzadik is Klal Yisrael. So Rav Chaim Kamsky said, in our generation, Rav Steinman Shlita, he is Klal Yisrael. And anyone who argues on him is like arguing against all of Klal Yisrael. That's the stature of Rav Steinman Shlita. Okay, so now, this is just the background of the ton of our Mishnah here, Rav Tzadik Omer. Now, in the Mishnayis that I have here, it's missing two statements that Rav Tzadik said. There's an argument whether he said those two statements or not. Some Mishnayis have it, some don't. I don't have it, but other Mishnayis have it. I'm going to tell you what it says, in which is missing in the Mishnayis Kati that I'm reading from. It says that Rav Tzadik said, "Al tifresh min atzibur," don't go away from the group. And a second statement, "Val tas atzmecha keorche hadayonim," and don't make yourself as a lawyer. So the reason perhaps why others, like this Mishnayis here, does not have it is because that, for example, that statement, don't make yourself like a lawyer, which we'll soon explain what that means, is written before already. It's written in Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. We have the exact same thing where it says, Al tas atzmecha ka'orche adayonim. This was said by Yehuda ben Tabayoymer, Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. Why would the exact same thing be repeated here? So that's why others say Rav Tzadik never said it. However, others say he did say it. So Rabbi Wein wants to suggest, even though the words are the same, what Rav Tzadik meant is a different meaning of the words. Yes, he said the same words, but he didn't mean just to repeat what's written in Mishnah Ches. He meant to say a new statement. In Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches, it means as follows. A judge is not a lawyer. What's the difference between a judge and a lawyer? We have, for example, now, maybe people are aware, there's a Zimmerman case in Miami of somebody who killed a Afro-American, and the question, did he kill him in self-defense or was it murder? So each side, lawyer, is trying to project, the prosecutor is trying to project murder. The defense is trying to present self-defense, that he killed him in self-defense. Now, what is the role of the judge? The role of the judge is not to go on either side. The role of the judge is to seek the truth. After hearing both sides, what's the truth? What really happened? Or the role of the jury who is listening to the case. So the function of a judge is different than a lawyer. The lawyer's job is to project his client or against the state, against that client, pro and con. And each one has to go to the extreme to try to either prosecute that person or defend the person. The judge's role is what's the emes, not who's going to win the case, but what's the truth of what happened. So in Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches, that's the message. A judge should not be a lawyer, which means don't be sympathetic to one side and act like a lawyer. You see a rich man comes in against a poor man. The rich man has money, he has power, he has connections. So the judge in his mind could say, what am I going to gain from this schlepper over here, this poor man? He can't help me. The rich man, he can help me. So I'm gonna look toward for him. I'm gonna look out every opportunity to help him. That's being a lawyer. That's not being a judge. A judge has to take everything away except the truth. What is the truth that happened here? That's Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. What is this Rav Tzadik saying over here? Rav Tzadik is saying, first, let's start with the first statement that he made. Al tifresh min atzibur. Why did he make that statement? Because he was speaking about what happened in his times. As we mentioned, the Bar Yunim, those people on the outside, those people who didn't listen to the Gedolim to make peace with the Romans, but rather said, we're going to fight the Romans. So they separated themselves from the rest of Klal Yisrael. They were Porish Menat Sibur. So Rab Tzadik said, first statement, Al Tifrish Menat Sibur. Second statement, don't act like a lawyer. What he meant to say is, a lawyer will always go, let's say, for his client, or you have two people fighting against each other in a monetary matter. So that each lawyer is going to rationalize and think of every way that he can win the case for his client. If you separate yourself from a tzibur, a lot of times people can have rationalization. Oh, of course I should separate. The tzibur is no good. I'll do it better. I'm not going to work with the tzibur to improve things. I'll break away. We'll have a breakaway minion. Or then we'll have a breakaway minion from the breakaway minion. That's unfortunately many times what happens in Klal Yisrael. And we rationalize why we're doing it. So Reb Tzadik says, don't separate from the tzibur. And I'm telling you the same words as Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches, but I mean something else. I'm not talking about a real lawyer and a real judge. I'm talking about you. When you separate from the tzibur, don't rationalize like a lawyer why you're doing it. This is what Rabbi Wein wants to suggest. Now, what we have in all Mishnayos is the following statements from Reb Tzadik. Al tasem atorah lizgadol behem. Don't make the Torah a crown to become, get honor, to have kavod. V'loy kardem lachbar behem. And don't make it into a shovel to dig with the Torah. It means parnasa. What L'chayra, what he's saying is, don't do learn Torah lo lishma. Don't learn Torah for kavod, and don't use Torah for parnasa. This is what Hillel used to say. Udishtamish betoga chalav. A person who uses the crown of Torah for his own personal benefit, he's chalav, he has passed away from this world. Hola marita, this teaches you. A person who uses the Torah for his own pleasure, either for honor or for parnasa. Noitel chayav min ha'olam. He takes his life from this world, which bepashtus means he'll die early. He takes his life from this world, or as the Mefarshim explain, that it means he'll take away his life from chaye oilam haba. Rashi explains, mafsit scharay min ha'olam haba. He loses his schar from the world to come. Now, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos speaks a lot. The Rambam we know is a doctor. And the Rambam speaks very much about people who get paid for, in the olden times, a Rav didn't get paid for being a Rav, or a Dayan didn't get paid for being a Dayan. The Rambam says, if you take money for this service, it's a Chil Hashem. People begin to look at all of these things like a Parnassa. One person's a lawyer, one person's a doctor, one person's a Rav. It brings a Chil Hashem. The Rambam says, you want to help a Rav financially? So lend him money, whatever, to start a business where he can earn money on his own. But don't, the Rambam speaks very strongly about not getting paid. The Gemara, in fact, tells us that melamde tinoikos, teachers, really, you're supposed to teach the Torah for free. Hashem says, re'ei lamadati eschem chukim u'mishpatim, asher tzivani Hashem alikoi, ma ani bechinam, af atem bechinam. Just like when I taught Torah, I taught it for nothing, Hashem says, so too, when you teach Torah, it should be for nothing. So how do we pay teachers? The answer is we pay teachers that they're guards. They're guards that the children shouldn't get hurt, and they're guards that the children shouldn't hurt others. That's, we pay them for recess time, where we pay them for recess time where each one could, chas v'shalom, hurt the other. That's what we're paying them for. But for the etzim Torah, we're not paying them for. So this follows, which what Rab Tzadik says, don't make it a kardom lachbor bem. Don't use the Torah for kavod or for parnasa. Now, in the Kahati Mishnayos here, it says that Rab Tzadik, I'll read you the words of the Kahati, says, kehemshech lemamorai shel Rabbi Shmuel
Mevia Mishnah Seinam Amori Shal Rab Tzadik. She'asru la'adam l'shtamish b'tayra lo'y l'shem kovid v'lo'y l'shem parnasa.
So it looks like either he didn't express himself clearly, or it looks like he's saying that Rab Tzadik is adding on to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, the way we learned this Mishnah, it's not adding on, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel said,
if you learned in order to teach, as we explained, you learned in order to be called a Rebbe, not lekanter, not to spite someone else, that's noyach loy shloy nivra, we learned. But if you learned for the covet, the prestige, so for keret, we said,
that's Rabbi Shmuel. Comes Rab Tzadik and says, no, al tase atorlis gadalbam. Don't use it to become great. So it seems to be an argument, right? And yet the Kohati says it's a hemshach. He doesn't say it's an argument. So I have a problem with this. What you could say is the following, that you could say it's an argument. That's one way to learn. You could say it's not an argument. It depends what's in your mind. Rav Shmuel is speaking about a person's learning, and he says, I want to get COVID. But eventually, the COVID is my bike that I wanted to get for learning Shisha Sidra Mishnah. My son learned Shisha Sidra Mishnah. Somebody said, if you learn it, I'll get you a 10-speed bike. That was his loyal Shema. So an older person is not going to do it with a bike, but the loyal Shema will be covered. But he has in mind, eventually I want to reach a level, maybe I'm 50, 60, 70, how long it'll take me. One day I want to get to Rav Moshe Feinstein's level to learn Torah Lishma. That, very good. Lo'olam, do that. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is lo'olam yasagadam atar mitzvah afapish lo'olam shema. How should you learn that lo'olam shema? Learn it shemitoich shel lo'olam shema v'olam shema. That should be part of your kavana. That's in your mind. I'm doing it lo'olam shema. I admit to you, I'm doing it now for covet. But eventually, I want to get higher and do it lishma. But what happens if you have a person who says, no, I don't want to get to Lishma. I just want to stay. I want to get a big synagogue with a big congregation. I'll make $250,000 a year as a rabbi. That's my goal. I want to sit on the Mizrachvan. So that's what Rav Tzadik is called. Rav Tzadik is mashlim. According to this, he's complimenting the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was speaking when your goal is to get to Lishma. Rav Tzadik was speaking, what happens if you never want to get to Lishma? You just want to stay Lishma. That's no good. I had another question, which Rabbi Wein, I saw, learns like this also. Who says that the beginning of the mission is Lishma? It says, Ulamadatem oisam es b'nechem, teach your sons. Who are your sons? Those are your Talmidim. Talmidim have to be treated like children. So Hashem wants us lilmoid ulilameid. We don't have to say that Rabbi Shmuel is speaking about loy lishma. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel is speaking lishma. Haloimid al menas lilameid. I want to learn that I have knowledge, but I also want to learn to share that knowledge with Klal Yisrael. So possibly Rabbi Shmuel is saying that we should learn Torah Lishma. He's not talking about Loy Lishma. The Kohati brings down the Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara in the Dorim says, Shelo yoimar adam ekra shikruuni chacham, eshne shikruuni Rebbe. Eshnan she'eye zokin ve'eshev b'yeshiva. Don't study Torah, Chumash, or Mishnayis, or Gemara, that you should be called a Rebbe. Ela lomed ma'ava. Learn Torah out of love. V'soif ha'kovod lovei. At the end, the kovod will come. Now, the Tveres Yisrael explains, Mishtamish b'toga cholov. Hillel said, whoever uses the crown of Torah for his own sake, he's cholov. So the simple pshat is, He will, chalaf means he's removed from this world, or he's removed from the next world. He doesn't get the full schar. He brings down here, the Tveris Yisrael explains, that if you use Torah for your own purposes, then you have switched, chalaf means chalipin. You have switched the purpose of Torah. The purpose of Torah is the honor of the Torah. But if you've switched that honor for your own personal honor, or for a shovel to dig to make parnasa, then the Torah is no longer keser Torah. It's not the crown of Torah. You chalaf. You. It doesn't mean you left this world as the simple pshat, but chalaf, you've changed the purpose of Torah. You're using it into something that you are personally benefiting from. And then the Tveris Yisrael says, it says in the Torah, ki hi chayecha, va'orich yamecha, Torah is your life and the length of the days. But when is that? That's only if you do it lishma. But if you do it shaloi lishma, and as we explained, you never want to get to the lishma, so then you have taken away the holiness of the Torah, and you've taken away the ability that the Torah, a person who learns Torah lishma, or loy lishma to get to lishma, that gives you arichas yomim. But if you learn Torah for the purpose of loy lishma, if that's your whole purpose, then you lost out on the segula of the Torah to give you long life. That Torah that you're learning doesn't have that ability anymore.